We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Another late show. Don't get used to it. We're bringing it back to Wednesday starting next week. But since you guys have been so patient and stuck around for all of our shows and really wanted our input, we're going to start throwing special stuff at you again. I have to do another fan appreciation episode here coming soon, and we're going to start mixing it up because we have busy schedules, but we're going to give you a weekly show on Wednesdays and some extra stuff along the way. Everything's picking up. Combat sports, hip-hop, it's summertime, so we got to, it's only right that we bring our A-game too and give you guys something special. But today, it's Kel Dansby here with Andreas Hale. You heard the word from the sponsors. It's time for us to talk combat sports. Yo, there's not a lot going on this weekend, but there's a lot going on, if that makes sense, Andreas. We have 211. We had a crazy press conference by the UFC. Not a lot of wrestling, unless you're a New Japan fan, in which it's about to get real. And then we have to recap boxing from last weekend. So let's start with the UFC presser from today. And it was dominated by Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier.
Of course. So we got the fight booked. Jones-Cormier, UFC 214, July 29th in Anaheim?
Question mark?
Yeah, because I can't remember if it's the 28th or 29th. But the pressure today, obviously, a lot of heat between these two. And I just realized it's almost been 3 years since this feud started. And they've only had one fight. So, yeah.
But each time we fall back into it. Yeah. Every time the buildup gets us.
Well, yeah, and this is no different. I mean, these two, they want each other bad. They want this fight bad. And, you know, I think the best part about what we saw today is Cormier is now comfortable in his position as the a guy who's going to get booed. And he's not going to try to play it up for the fans. He's just going to do him. And he dropped the N-bomb today, which I was like, whoa.
Yo, I thought I heard that, but I was like, nah, no way.
Yeah, so he's real. He kept it real today. and he got everybody's attention. And the crowd was behind him, too. So, you know, kudos to Cormier. I never understood why Cormier got booed so much in the first place. It just never made any sense to me. But, you know, Jon Jones with the ultimate comeback. I did cocaine the weekend that I fought you, all weekend. Yeah. And, you know, sand-blowing prostitutes. Yeah, things got interesting today.
Yeah, DC came with that fire, and now people are going to cheer him more because he's embracing the heel role. And this is all they wanted. They wanted this back and forth. Jon Jones, I don't know, man. It's the cocaine. He said, I beat you on cocaine the first time. And he was proud of it. He wore like a badge on his chest.
Does that mean that he's not going to beat him on cocaine this time?
Don't put words in his mouth.
I'm just saying, if he doesn't beat D, because look, he didn't look all that great against OSP Peru. Call it Cage Russell, whatever you want, but he was off for a while. Against OSP, he won, but he wasn't terribly impressive, you know, like Jimmy Manuel was, for instance. So if he faces Daniel Cormier completely sober, is he like the drunken master? He's like Jackie Chan, the drunken master, that he needs his dope to win a fight?
If he loses, he better go right back to the cocaine. I tell you that much. It's no different than my argument for NFL players smoking weed. And people be like, oh, why does Josh Gordon have to smoke weed? They always get suspended and everything. It's a mental thing. It's like, yo, if you smoked weed before every game to ease your anxiety since you were like 14, and then they suddenly tell you you can't smoke weed anymore, you don't know who you are as a person. Your anxiety is going to go through the roof. It's a crutch to make you perform to your highest ability. Now, is that ability in you all the time? Yeah, probably so. But it's a habit you've developed to get to where you're at the highest level. So if you take it to that same regard, John Jones has done coke for how long that we know of, let alone that we don't know of? And it was his ritual. He said as much. Get stupid trashed a week before the fight to give himself an excuse. He does cocaine, all this stuff. Mentally, are you the same when you cut that out? And you don't have that crutch. And you don't have the same rituals. It could affect him. He could give up the coke and be horrible.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it one way or the other. But that's not the only thing that stole the show today.
Everybody was fighting.
Yeah, everybody was fighting. But the most significant one that caught everyone by surprise was Kevin Lee and Michael Chiesa actually going at it. And Kevin Lee landed a right cross on Michael Chiesa after talking about his mama, which he wasn't really talking about his mom. But I guess Chiesa took it that way. Two interesting things that came out of this. For those who watched the press conference, one, if you don't know, Kevin Lee trains in Las Vegas under the tutelage of Dewey Cooper, who also trained with Jesse Vargas, my favorite boxer, tongue in cheek. and he also trains at Floyd Mayweather's gym. So if you listen to Kevin Lee talk, there's a lot of Floyd Mayweather and Adrian Broner in his conversation. And he even said hard work and dedication. And he looked like a reject from the film The Warriors with his vest and his beads. He looked crazy. But
the outfit's probably $10K right there. Don't sleep on it.
No, we've seen this man's payouts. He's not – like he said his sunglasses were $3,000. I need to see a receipt because your payouts ain't that high.
Floyd
ain't buying that man. No. Well, maybe he is because, I mean
– Dewey Cooper breaking dope?
Dewey ain't got it like that. Look, man, you're my boy. If I got cash, I'm not buying you $3,000 sunglasses. I might, help you with a down payment for a car because that you can use that. But $3,000 sunglasses that got broke at the press conference, that's ridiculous. But apparently Lee and Chiesa were going at it. And Lee said, I know your mom bought tickets. And Chiesa was like, don't you talk about my mama. And I was like, word? And then it was, Kevin Lee was like, shut up. And they kept going. And then Chiesa, he looked for security, which was funny. He looked around for security and was like, I need one of y'all to step in because I'm about to go smack his bitch ass. Security didn't do nothing. So he started headed towards him. Kevin Lee was like, well, what's up then? Ran across the stage, socked him in the face. Now I want to see this fight. I wanted to see the fight before because I've always thought Kevin Lee is a great talent. But now I'm really interested in this fight.
Oh, they're two great finishers, though. So we knew coming into the fight, someone wasn't leaving out of there. It wasn't going to the judges. Now it's guaranteed. Now it has fight of the night written all over it. It's going to be fun. And that's one thing I noticed with this press conference. It's the UFC has been in such a haze. This seems like it's going to be fun over the next couple months.
As long as everybody stays healthy. We had Amanda Nunes dressed in Tim's and a wife beater. Yo,
that's business attire.
Every fight since over the past year and a half, every time you see Amanda Nunes, she gets more and more butch. Like her attire went from like dresses, now straight up sweats, Tim's, and wife beaters.
For what it's worth, though, she looks pretty good in it.
I mean, she's big as hell too.
Yeah, she's an attractive like butch chick. I see the appeal. I mean, it's not for me, but I understand it. Like, she got the tattoos popping. She was killing it today on the stage. But she took a swing as well during the face-offs.
Yeah, I mean, we got a rematch with Shevchenko, which a lot of people are looking forward to. It was a close first fight. Amanda won that one, but this one's very interesting. Shevchenko's got great stand-up, so I'm looking forward to this fight as well. It's going to be in Vegas, UFC 213. One fight that may not be in Las Vegas hasn't officially been taken off the card yet, but according to Cody Garbrandt's tweets, which were deleted a little bit later, he's having back issues, and he wasn't able to make it out to the presser. And then if you look on the UFC's page, they removed TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt from the main event. but they still have an announcement. So I don't know if we're going to get any news by the time we have our next show, but it's a possibility that the grudge match between Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw may not take place at UFC 213, which will really suck. And I wish they would have been there, because there would have been some furniture moving if those two showed up.
The only thing disappointing was Weidman. Because Weidman was super buddy-buddy and friendly, and I'm not here for that. It didn't fit the theme.
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody's got to be nice. And Gastelum and Weidman, which is a great fight, by the way. Interestingly enough, I wonder where this leaves Gegard Mousasi, because he doesn't have a fight. And he just, you know, does he fight Robert Whittaker now? Because it seems like they're going the Bisping-Romero route, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Not sure. But somebody's got to be nice.
Well, Luke Rockhold called him out last night. He said if it's officially announced that it's Rockhold versus Romero, he wants Mousasi at 214. He put it on Instagram last night. He said he'll sign on the line as long as Romero gets the title shot. And they want a number one contender's fight. They just fight at the end of July for it. So, granted, he was on the beach halfway in the ocean while he said this shit. But he said it, and he can't take it back.
Yeah, so I'm interested. The other fight I'm really interested in is actually going to be at the Ultimate Fighter finale? Justin Gaethje and Michael Johnson.
Yeah, it's the headliner.
Yes. So Gaethje's making his UFC debut. If anybody has not watched this man, go find yourself a World Series of Fighting fight and just watch this man. He's a savage. Leg kicks. He's a glutton for punishment, and he's fighting Michael Johnson. By the way, Michael Johnson had the most what the fuck moment out of this press conference, because Michael Johnson proceeded to say, I eat shit like you whole. And I was like, word?
He also said, I'm coming in there to kill people. I'm coming in there. I was like, oh, shit.
And Gaethje was like, kill me then. And I'm like, all right, this has gotten out of control.
Yeah, he said that to the wrong person, because obviously he hasn't watched Gaethje fight. Because he goes in there and he's perfectly fine getting killed. There is no defense in his fights.
Yeah, so Michael Johnson with the Shooter McGavin moment from Happy Gilmore, talking about eating pieces of shit whole. it just didn't sound right. And he said it multiple times. It was like he tried to kind of correct himself, but he was like, I eat shit. I eat pieces of shit like you whole. Like, don't even chew. And I was like, dude, what?
It's still not good trash talk.
No, it didn't work. I mean, I'm here for the fight, but you lost the trash talking department of this one.
Joanna can't be overlooked, obviously. At weigh-ins later on, that was kind of nice and feisty, and she gave the paper championship away to Jessica. That was dope. The whole production, what was it, 2 hours total with the theatrical weigh-ins? It was really a good jump start to this next wave of UFC.
Yeah, and it
still no star power, though.
Yeah, it's still struggling. Conor McGregor, I don't know if he watched at home or not, but he's like, everybody's taking my lines, ha ha ha. Like, because everybody's just pretty much doing him now, calling everybody out. But more power to him.
Yair Rodriguez, we didn't talk about that.
Well, we got the whole UFC 211 to talk about now.
Okay. I guess we just got to transition. So, we have main event, Stipe versus JDS. They look good on the scales, easy weights. Once again, these guys are light and quick heavyweights, if there is such a thing. So, there was no worry about any one of them struggling to make weight. I think it goes a lot like the first fight. Now, it doesn't go to the judges, but I think, we see both of them get rocked. They rock each other, they survive, and then one of them wins third, fourth round by knockout. But I don't see the first round flash knockout by any means.
No, I don't. I don't either. It's interesting. I spoke on a betting show today, and the line between those two is JDS is like a plus 120, and Miocic is only like a minus 140 favorite, which is kind of insane to me.
Let's go with the parlay.
Yeah, well, it's kind of insane to me, because I would just put a lot of money on Stipe Miocic, because I figured he'd be almost a 2-1 favorite, considering he washed Alistair Overeem and Junior Dos Santos got knocked out. And JDS, not to say that he's regressing, but he's not the same fighter he was a couple of years ago. So, his chin's been tested. He got ran over by Cain Velasquez. He got knocked out by Alistair Overeem. So, he had a win with Ben Rothwell that put him right back in title contention in a relatively thin division. But, I think this fight is going to be very good. Two great strikers. JDS, an excellent kickboxer. Miocic is a solid wrestler too, but there's going to be some hands thrown. I just think that the durability of JDS is going to be in question, and somewhere in the middle late rounds, Stipe is going to probably come up with a knockout.
Yeah, I have Stipe winning by TKO in the fourth early. JDS just doesn't have enough fights. Two fights since the last time he fought Stipe, and that's 2.5 years ago. One was a knockout, and then one was the Rothwell. One was him getting knocked out by Overeem. The other one was him beating Rothwell. It's just not active enough. Stipe continuously fought. He got better at fight after fight after fight, and JDS hasn't done anything. This is pretty much the Kane isn't healthy enough to take this fight opponent. Yeah. And I think it's going to have its good moments. We saw Reem kind of stumble, Stipe in their fight. And for a second, Stipe was rocked, but he came back and wrecked Reem. I expect the same thing. Because Stipe can be hit, but he can take one hell of a punch and recover. So I expect him to do that. In the co-main, Joanna versus Andrade. This one, to me, isn't difficult to call. Andrade looks way better moving down from bantamweight to strawweight, but I still think flyweight is her future home. I think that's where she settles in best, and I don't think her level of competition has been anywhere near what she's about to see in Joanna.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's a couple of things here that, you know, people talk about Jessica Andrade in her last fight against Angela Hill and, you know, how good she's looked since coming down the strawweight. However, she's given up about 4 inches in height, 3.5 inches in reach, and she's a wide puncher. She throws wide looping punches. Joanna throws stuff right down the middle. She's a range fighter with her jab. She's a great kickboxer. And then plus the conditioning. People don't talk about this enough. Joanna's conditioning, especially looking at the Claudia Gadea fight at the Ultimate Fighter finale last year, where she had to come from behind being down 2 rounds to win that fight. I don't think Jessica can dig that deep. As the fight drags on, it's just going to get worse for her. If she can't get rid of Joanna early, she's going to be in for a long night. She might get stopped.
Hey, I said that same thing on a radio show earlier. It's just you can have good cardio, and we saw with Angela Hill, it went a long time in that fight. It went the distance, but it wasn't at Joanna's pace.
It's not a 5-round fight either.
True. But when you fight Joanna, it's a whole different pace. You can't keep that up for 25 minutes. No one in that division is capable of doing so. So either you finish her or you're going to lose. It's the John Jones treatment at this point. Either you finish her or you're going to lose because you can't match that output, that striking for 25 minutes. So I have Joanna winning by decision because I don't think Joanna gets her out of here. But I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a clinic, and Andrade just hasn't faced anyone on the level of Joanna. Angela Hill, she's funny. She's great. Her Twitter is, you know, top tier in the UFC. She does a little video game character things at the weigh-ins. But honestly, she lost 3 of her last UFC fights before getting sent to Invicta, won a championship, came back, and lost her return. And that woman gave... Or, you know, she lasted throughout the entire fight with Andrade, and at certain points gave Andrade a fit with returning and counterpunching and everything. So they had a great fight, but if that's the caliber of fighter that Andrade is, if that's the level she's on, she's still 3 steps behind Joanna.
Yeah, I don't think Andrade has much of a shot at all. And this is another fight. I think the line was, you know, Joanna was like a -150. And I was like, how? Like, she should be a prohibitive favorite here. So, just go, a little surprise.
You're going to have me go bet in the morning. Just drop some dough down. Just 100 on the favorites, on the parlay.
The favorites is a mess. We'll talk about another one here shortly. So, who are we going to next?
Well, next we have Frankie Edgar versus Yair.
There it is. That's the one I wanted to talk about.
Oh, man. So, I'm glad you didn't listen to my radio spot this morning because you were busy doing work at Champions and editing and such. But I picked Frankie Edgar because to beat Frankie Edgar, you have to be a champion or a future champion. I'm not sure if Yair is there yet. And Frankie only... Look, Aldo has his number. Outside of that, not too many people do. So I'm not picking Frankie to lose to many people. I think Frankie Holloway is a toss-up, and Holloway's a great fighter. So I don't think Yair is there yet. I think Frankie wins. I think Frankie outlasts him in this fight. And the fact that it's a 3-round fight, that's cake for Frankie. Frankie doesn't know what to do with himself in a 3-round fight. I have to check the stats, but I don't think he's had a 3-round fight in like 4 years.
It's been quite a while. Well, no, he headlined against Cub Swanson. Yeah, you're probably right.
He headlined against BJ Penn. Two title fights. I don't think he's had one in 4 years.
Yeah, he's always ready for this. Yeah, this is the other fight. It was another fight that Frankie Edgar is like a -125. And I'm like, dude, how? Yair Rodriguez had not necessarily a difficult time, but he had some challenges with Alex Caceres. Somebody I think Frankie Edgar would get out of there immediately. So that being said, you know, Yair, you beat up BJ Penn. Okay, so who doesn't beat up BJ Penn? So he doesn't necessarily, you know, Andre Feely, it's like there isn't necessarily somebody on his resume. You know, at least Cody Garbrandt, before he fought Dominic Cruz, had Thomas Almeida, who was just knocking people the fuck out. He doesn't have one of those on his resume. And Frankie Edgar is, yes, he doesn't lose to anybody who's not a champion. He lost twice to Benson Henderson and twice to Jose Aldo in the past few years. Yeah. That's it. Everybody else, like Cub Swanson, as great as Cub Swanson is, made him look like an amateur in that fight. You know, in Yair Rodriguez, even though he has solid wrestling, I don't think he can deal with Frankie's wrestling. I think Frankie's conditioning, I think everything that Frankie brings to the table makes this a very, very tough for Yair Rodriguez. I have Frankie Edgar winning a decision, and pretty handily.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Frankie could tap him. Because we haven't seen Yair on the ground, really. And Frankie could live down there. He's a beast. I said it on that show earlier. I was like, you know what? I've been very vocal about Frankie Edgar fights not doing it for me. He just doesn't do it for me, right? But there's something to say about being so good and so dominant against your opponents that you bore someone. So yeah. It's not a knock all the time. If I say Frankie Edgar doesn't do it for me, it's just because a lot of the time, when it's not against the upper echelon, the creme de la creme of fighters, the top 1% of fighters, he runs through people and he makes it look easy, which bores me. So that's probably the best compliment I can give Frankie Edgar. So his fights still don't do it for me, but I still think he wins this fight because he's not a gatekeeper yet. The guy is still a beast. Look at Jeremy Stephens thought he had all the answers. It's not happening. Oh, and I guess his last fight was a 3-round fight against Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah, his last fight. And then before that, it was 2013 against Charles Oliveira.
2013. So it was 4 years if you discount the November fight. So, I mean, the guy's had five round. I mean, all his fights, he's had that one in 2014. To get another non-5-round fight before then, you have to go back to 2009. So, yeah, 2009 against Matt Veitch. 2014 against Oliveira, and then Jeremy Stephens. 3 3-round fights in almost a decade. The guy's a monster.
Yeah, the guy's built for this. So I'm not going to pick on you for saying Frankie doesn't do it for you, because I love Frankie. I think he's an excellent fighter.
He doesn't, but it's the best compliment I can give him, just because he literally makes it look easy against this competition.
Look, I said I'm going to let you off the hook. Don't even talk about it. Yeah, this is easy work. In my opinion, easy work for Frankie Edgar. All right, next
one. We lost a fight on the card before we go to the next one. A fight that I was really looking forward to. You know, it was one of those, you know, Mighty Mouse needs another, I guess, test going through. And I really thought we were going to see that in the flyweight fight. But for some reason, who got hurt? Now that I think about it.
Well, Henry Cejudo.
Cejudo got hurt. Yes. Yeah. Cejudo, and he tweeted pictures of his hand. And I forgot which one got hurt. That tells you how much I've been working. But, Cejudo got hurt. He had to pull out of the fight. That's kind of whack. I was looking forward to that. The replacement now for that fight, David Branch moves up. And his debut, not Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier. His debut is now on the main card.
Yeah, and I think they wanted to keep the prelims, you know, keep the spotlight between Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier on the prelims. So I'm perfectly fine with Jocko and Branch moving up to the main card. I'm excited to see David Branch fight. I mean, the guy, pretty much after he left the UFC, after losing to Ruslan Palhares, who knee-bars everybody, he kind of went on a little tour, then he ended up in World Series of Fighting, and he started at one, and he became the company's two-division champion. Before Conor McGregor, there was David Branch. And he remained undefeated his entire tenure at World Series of Fighting. He hasn't lost since 2012, and that was against Rumble. So it's like, dude, This is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing David Branch as a middleweight fight, see where he lands in this pretty stacked division. It's pretty top heavy. But I'm picking him to beat Christoph Jocko, even though Jocko's only lost one fight. Jocko's looked really good recently, but it just feel like the grind of David Branch is on another level right now.
I have Jocko beating David Branch. Once again, Jocko's lost one fight. I don't take anything away from David Branch. I know his record. He's been on a tear. But it seems like the guys who come over from Bellator, World Series Fighting, it seems like they always lose the first one. The lights of the UFC, the emotion, everything. I don't know. Something gets to them. And all these guys drop their first one. So I'm just not bucking the trend. I think he loses this one, and then he just, you know, he goes on and gets his wit about him, and he knows what the UFC is about, and then we get to see the true David Branch. I skipped over completely. You were just going to let me just ride with this shit. Damian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
A lot of people forget about Damian Maia. I'm sorry, Damian. I don't want to be like everyone else. I apologize. This is why the man don't got a title shot.
Yeah. This is a tough fight. And originally, a lot of people were like, Damian Maia, he's on a roll. He's going to wash him. Dude, Jorge Masvidal is a completely competent grappler, an excellent striker with some great takedown defense. These are all recipes for disaster for Damian Maia. And for the record, I'm picking Masvidal. I've been wavering back and forth. I picked Maia originally, but as the weeks go on, I'm just curious, how long can Maia stand up with Masvidal? Because Masvidal, I mean, he cleaned out Cowboy Cerrone's clock. And he's got great hands, and Maia's never been an excellent striker. He's just going to have to get him to the ground quick. The longer this fight goes, the more likely Masvidal is going to win.
I disagree. I think you're giving a submission specialist 15 minutes to land a submission. That's pretty damn good. Damian Maia, to me, and I say this all the time when we talk about him, he's the best jiu-jitsu practitioner / wrestler in the UFC. Like, no other jiu-jitsu guy can get people to the ground effectively with a single or a double leg. They all have to either get punched and end up on the ground and someone's stupid enough to jump on them, or they punch the other guy, go to the ground, and submit them. Damian Maia can land a single, double. He has great wrestling. I think he taps Jorge Masvidal in the first.
It's going to be tough, man. I'm a believer in Masvidal's takedown defense, so... And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but I am picking Masvidal on this fight.
Yeah, to me, to beat Maia, you have to be tall and rangy and fight from a distance. Masvidal is none of those things. He's aggressive. He's shorter. He wants to close the space and knock people out. And when you get close to Damian Maia, it's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is circle. Circle, dance, keep him at a distance, outpoint him. You get into his wheelhouse, it's a whole bad night for you. So that's why I think Masvidal loses. To the prelims. Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier. It is the Conor McGregor Knock Me Out Cup. It is the Conor Touch My Chin Championship. They try to come back. Oh, what is Eddie going to do, man? He looked good on the scales. I mean, should I count that?
No.
I still have a winner in this fight. To me, Eddie Alvarez at his top is better than 95% of the lightweight division. It's just Conor McGregor's a different beast. He talks you out of your game. He actively gets you to do things you know are stupid. You spend 3 months watching film, maybe a year watching film, because you know eventually you're going to have to fight this man. And then you get into the octagon, throw all that shit out the window, know that you hate this man, rush him, and get knocked out. So I'm not counting it against him.
Oh, this is a tough fight for me to pick, because I've been a believer in Dustin Poirier way before, like when he debuted in the UFC. And I felt like he came a long way. I mean, he tapped Max Holloway. I was there for that in 2012. You know, he's lost some tough fights. He lost to Chael Sonnen Jung. He lost to Cub Swanson. Obviously, he lost to Conor McGregor. And he lost to Michael Johnson recently. He got knocked out. But he's tall. He's rangy. And at lightweight, he's dangerous. And Alvarez is a grinder, as we've seen in his fights with Anthony Pettis. You know, he fought Cowboy Cerrone. He's a grinder who's got a pretty sturdy chin. This is a really hard fight for me to pick, because I just don't know how it's going to end. Whose game plan is going to get implemented? Is Poirier going to keep the range? Is he going to be able to grapple him? Or is Alvarez just going to grind him and keep him grinded up against the cage and use some ground and pound? I'm not really sure which way this goes. So on the show, it's just I got to make it a prediction. I'm going to go out on a limb and pick Dustin Poirier. Not with a lot of confidence.
The rest of the card is actually pretty good. I mean, it's going to be entertaining. We really don't have to pick him. I'm looking forward to seeing James Vick fight again. To me, I like his fights. He's a finisher. I think he's really good. So he's always a name when it's on a card. It always piques my interest. So that's UFC 211. We talked about all the craziness happening around there. By the time we have our next show, Cyborg might have a fight. It's probably not who she wants to fight. I don't know what they're doing with Cyborg. I don't know if an interim title is good enough.
It's not, but we'll see.
And they pay her a buttload. So give her the money. Cyborg will fight 4 times in a year if you let her. So if you promise Cyborg, like, yo, go grab this interim. It's in L.A. or it's in Anaheim. Do it in front of the Cali crowd that you like. Come back, in October on the GSP card or whatever. We'll let you run. We'll give you Deronime. She can't run from you forever. You take the outright belt. And then, hopefully Amanda's still champion after that. And maybe you guys can run it. Champion versus champion or something. Or then you bring up, the Invicta champion, the face or whatever it may be. It's a pretty easy run with Cyborg. The first one is the doozy.
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about giving her Kat Zingano, so we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Kat Zingano looks like she can make 145 with ease, but, who knows what they're doing.
And Cyborg made a good point. Kat Zingano was 125-pound champion in Invicta. She's fought well at 135, but still, she's had her trouble with, look at what Ronda did to her. Just, she's been good, but she hasn't been dominant in that weight class. And then you want her to move up and fight Cyborg? It's tough. Tough sledding. You got to build the 145 division. I understand 125 is a lot easier, but if you're going to have 145, don't have it a sideshow for Cyborg, because she turns into Butterbean real quick if you do that shit.
True indeed.
So that's UFC for right now. We're not taking breaks, people. We've waited long enough for this show. We're going to go straight through. Next up, boxing. We just covered Canelo versus Chavez Jr. Chavez Jr. had one hell of a week.
Oh, God. yeah. Chavez was who I thought he was, and I think he was who we all thought he was. He seemed like he was motivated. He came out there and he didn't do shit.
Well, he's just not that talented.
Look. There's a difference between not being talented and not doing shit. And Chavez was a do-nothing bitch in this fight because he threw nothing. Like, he had opportunities to throw punches, at least throw a damn punch. Canelo was extremely dominant, won every minute of every single round, in my opinion, and cruised to a unanimous decision victory in a fight that was probably one of the biggest rivalries between two Mexican fighters in history. One of the biggest rivalries between this, a legend in the making and the son of a legend. And it was a completely one-way traffic. It was boring as shit. Canelo didn't get the knockout. He looked good, but I mean, it was very reminiscent of Sergio Martinez versus Chavez without the 12th round drama.
Yeah, you can't knock out someone when they don't engage with you. It's very hard to just chase someone and then get a knockout, He did the best he could. I don't blame that at all on Canelo. I think the fight was boring, but I don't blame Canelo for that. He even used the little Mayweather tricks to, make someone feel good, lean up against the rope, just take body punches, cover your head, and block the body punches with your elbows because you're not tired at all, and make them feel confident enough, like, oh my God, I'm hitting him. And then they open up and you just rock them. Chavez Jr., when it was time to open up, he ate one uppercut and ran. So yeah, that was the end of that strategy.
This was like a very well done heist. Because Chavez, he makes $3 million on his purse, and I think he cleared $6 million on the night.
Speaking of heist, though. He got robbed, for what it's worth. Allegedly, his hotel room got robbed yesterday? Or Wednesday, I believe. The same day that pictures came out with him with a bunch of medium quality, and I'm being generous, ladies of the night.
So, you robbed a bank. I mean, this is what you do when you rob a bank.
No, you rob a bank, you go get the top quant. This is Vegas. There's some quality in the streets of Vegas. Like, come on, you're not. This ain't Hunts Point. Shout out to all my New York people. This isn't Hunts Point. It's Vegas. You're on the strip. How about you don't, back page it? You don't call, the little chicks on the billboards. or the little pamphlet guys flapping shit at you in the neon shirts, leave those alone. How about you go and get yourself a professional service? You have a couple of the high-priced ladies come through. You just need two or three. He went and got, like, yo, who's in the casino right now? Like, yeah. you, and you. $200 for a half hour. Let's go. It was crazy. Yeah. He's frugal with his heist.
Apparently so. I'm just saying. Man took away $6 million, hadn't won a significant fight in 5 years. And, yeah, he's frugal. I mean, it's from Mexico. I mean, shit, that money goes a long way.
I'm sure they have like better quality in Tijuana than what he had in his room.
I'm sure of it, too. I wonder what his wife and kid thought about that.
Yo, does he have a wife?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's horrible, because there was clear just ass outness in that video.
Yeah, so, like, the reason why I know he has, like, wife, kids, family, so he had to shame the whole family with the fight and then this. But from my vantage point where I was sitting ringside, I sat there and I had to watch his entire family yelling at him the entire fight.
Yo, like, his wife and kids were at the fight.
Everybody was there.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Chavez Sr.'s at the fight, and they're all ringside. Like, in my line of vision where I was sitting at from ringside, which because I was towards Chavez's corner, I could see his family just yelling nasty things to him. Like, they were not pleased with this performance. So Chavez was like, fuck it, I got $6 million. I didn't really earn it. I shouldn't have got $6 million. Because who do you know doesn't win a fight, a significant fight, in 5 years and gets a $6 million paycheck?
You know what? The hell with it. Like, if your wife, your moms, your dad, everyone's yelling at you at the corner, and you just got $6 million, you might be like, yo, I'm getting out of here. I just want to do hood rat shit with my friends.
That's what he did. He did hood rat shit with his friends. Who knows if we'll ever see Chavez fight again? This is likely his last significant payday. So
it's his Maidana? He's out?
Yeah. Why continue to do this? You're not really that good to begin with. So-called motivated, you didn't do shit. So take your money, go back to Mexico, trick off.
All signs point to the pay-per-view doing over 1 million buys, which is big for Canelo.
Yep. I told people this and people were like, no, it's not going to do 1 million. I was like, dude, you're underestimating the buying power of the Hispanic audience. They're going to buy this fight. This was a big fight. There was no UFC this weekend. There was no major sporting event in its way. You know, the NBA playoffs, but, this round of the NBA playoffs has been a wash anyway. So, 1 million buys, not surprised.
Our black folk need to do better. I need to go on black Twitter and just rant. Because why are we streaming everything? Do Hispanic fans not stream? I need answers to this. Because I saw nothing but black people watching this fight. Ain't not one of y'all paid. Let's just put it on a carpet. Everybody streaming stuff. Or they got the Fire Stick. We need to do better.
Yeah, it's true. Everybody does it with the Fire Stick.
Yeah, we don't support the up-and-coming black fighter. That's why there's no blacks on pay-per-view.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole other conversation itself. We really don't have time to get into why black fighters don't do well on pay-per-view. But, yeah, the Mexican buying audience buys fights. We Fire Stick them. And, I mean, we've been burned. You know what I'm saying? We feel like we got burned for whoever paid for Mayweather-Pacquiao. If you pay for a Mayweather fight the last few years and we're expecting action, you got burned. You haven't seen Mayweather knock anybody out since Victor Ortiz. So you're not really comfortable, buying a pay-per-view fight. Like, even Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev was like, you got burned because some people are like, oh, Ward's going to knock him out. You don't watch enough boxing. This is a Mayweather duplicate. So it's like you're going to see the similar ugly kind of fight. Unless you really appreciate what's going on in the ring, the only true exciting African-American fighters are out there are like Terrence Crawford. He's exciting. Watch him. But nobody knows who he is.
One time and, was exciting.
Yeah, one time Sean Porter, but Terrence Crawford's fighting this weekend. And who's going to be watching? I'm going to be watching.
I didn't even know he was fighting.
Yeah, he's fighting Felix Diaz this weekend at Madison Square Garden, which I'm excited to see.
I should have probably knew that. I probably got to write about that for Champions. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, so pretty significant fight there. Diaz, an Olympian. Crawford biding his time before he can get a big fight. So other than that, two Mexicans fighting, that's a big deal. People are going to pay for that. Like, they sold out T-Mobile. The atmosphere in Vegas was amazing. It was Cinco de Mayo weekend out here. It was like, dude, it was great. But Chavez shit the bed. But then, to salvage all of that, we got the WWE-style intro to Gennady Golovkin,
It was like Undertaker coming out.
Yeah, they formally announced Triple G and Canelo for September 16th, and the boxing world rejoiced. I mean, I'm excited. I'm happy for it. I wasn't too sure it was going to happen. I thought we might see Canelo and David Lemieux. But Tom Loeffler did say that, you know, he was working on something. He told me a while ago in private that he was working on something. So I guess this is it. So now we got it. We got the big fight, September 16th.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. Canelo didn't look that big compared to Triple G. I thought he would look bigger. To me, Triple G, you know, even after his fights, after his weigh-in, he doesn't rehydrate crazy. And this was Canelo after he fought at 164 and being allowed to rehydrate. I thought he'd look a lot bigger. He didn't.
No, he's not. Like, he's big, but, I mean, the thing about Gennady Golovkin is he's kind of very similar to Floyd Mayweather in how they prepare for fights. They really stay at their fighting weight. Gennady doesn't get too big. He doesn't even get too much bigger than 170. So this is who he is. So, yeah, we got the fight. We got a little hokey intro, and we got the little confetti. Like, it was ridiculous to me because I was like, yeah, confetti and all this shit. I was like, but they got the fight. So yo, here's the question.
Your tweet about disrespect, first of all, was right on point. They disrespected Chavez so dirty.
Oh, yeah. They had, I mean, dude, they had the confetti cannons loaded. They had two video packages, not one, two video packages ready. They had, like, the smoke thing. They had took Gennady out the arena. Like, yo.
He had the Goldberg entrance from the back.
Yeah, they gave Chavez no chance in hell. Like, if Chavez would have blown this, man, they would have taken the confetti and take it all home. Like, they didn't. It's so disrespectful to Chavez. So here's my million-dollar question. We got the fight, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it in the weeks, in the months before September 16th lands. Does this incense Floyd Mayweather to fight McGregor to upstage this fight? Because they're fighting on Mexican Independence Day, which is regularly known as Floyd Mayweather month.
Well, Dana White said as much, right? Dana White said that was the date they were going for.
Do you think Floyd Mayweather pushes to get this fight made? Or does he say, forget it?
I don't think he says forget it. I think Dana White is posturing. So I've talked to like three people, and all they ask me is, oh my God, if they don't get it done this weekend, it's not going to get done. And it's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Have you been around Dana White before? When was the last time Dana White told the truth? Let's start with that. Like, the guy lies all the time. He's a promoter. He's supposed to say what's good for business. He's posturing publicly. You just don't posture with Floyd Mayweather. Because Mayweather knows, he's smart enough to know, he holds all the chips. It's just a fact of the matter. So Mayweather can sit back and wait, and the UFC will blink before he will. And I think the UFC blinks fast. I think if they can get what they usually generate from a 1 million buy pay-per-view, which would what, be GSP-type pay-per-views, not Conor, somewhere around whatever John Jones DC is going to bring them, right? If they can get that to just step away, they got to pull the trigger with no overhead cost.
I wouldn't. Not for that price. So here's my thing. I wrote a column today for Boxing Scene where I basically said that I don't want to see Mayweather-McGregor happen this year. And if it doesn't happen this year, it shouldn't happen at all. Nothing should get in the way of promoting Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez. And all Mayweather and McGregor will do is throw a monkey wrench in everything. Because all the attention will go to this bullshit boxing match that nobody cares. Well, people will care about it as an event, but it won't be competitive in the ring. And will upstage probably one of the most competitive boxing matches that we waited to see in such a long time. I don't want to see Mayweather and McGregor. I don't want to see him announce a date. I don't want to see anything near this fight. Because it's going to ruin it for everybody. I think about it.
If they fight September 9th.
But that's terrible for Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez. And I mean,
it's the death blow.
In the worst way possible. Because to get involved and run a promotional tour at the same time, parallel to Gennady Golovkin and Triple G. I mean, Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez. It's going to hurt. Because anybody with a brain knows that Canelo and Triple G is the best fight out there that can possibly be made in boxing today. By far. And this is what we've been waiting for a little bit over a year. And we fortunately are getting it sooner rather than later. And Mayweather McGregor's not competitive at all. It's all spectacle. The only thing that's going to be entertaining is the build up to the fight. The night of the fight is going to be shit, just like the Mayweather Pacquiao fight was. But at least we expected that one to be better. Anybody with a brain knows that fight's not going to be good. It is going to go for probably $80, $90 on pay per view, which means people are not going to spend any money the following weekend if it was to be September 9th.
Correct.
On Canelo and Triple G. I don't think it'll be September 9th.
Well, that's how you bury them. If you're spiteful, that's how you bury them. And you move them away from Vegas. Because there's no way if Mayweather versus McGregor is in T-Mobile on September 9th, there's no way that De La Hoya turns right back around and brings that fight to Vegas on September 16th.
Listen up,
it doesn't get done.
It's not going to happen on September 9th. That's, now we just get that
know
out.
Nobody
it's not
likes
happen.
Filling out surveys.
If it does
really
happen, it'd be
it.
Like, I think at this point, you're looking at October
and
November.
Besides helping out the show, I think you'll be entered for a chance to win $100
there's, again, I think they're still far away from making this deal. I think there's too many things going on here. You know, with Nate Diaz saying what he's saying, like I said in the last show, we you have to worry. Like, you pay Conor McGregor all this money. Like, is he even going
to
come back?
We really need you to
right? And then
and
what good does this do for anybody at this point? Like, Floyd Mayweather
I mean, once
retires,
we know more about
he's just
you,
richer.
We'll be able to deliver
the sport
the
of boxing suffers
you
from getting a shitty
Finding
fight.
Sponsors who are good
McGregor's
fit
rich.
We're going
to give
you
the deals back to
the UFC. Brands you care
you know,
about.
He may take a bunch of time off and spend it with his son.
Enjoy every week.
Congratulations, Conor McGregor. Just had a baby boy.
If you don't care about helping us and making
I don't think he'll be in a rush to come back after making $75 million. I think everybody loses except for the people who are directly involved in the promotion of the fight. The sport of boxing suffers.
It's a better chance to win. So please, do us like solid and go to
does
the
it,
corner.
I mean, does it ever survey.com. Get more eyes
once again, that's the corner.
Mayweather
survey.
Mayweather
it's going to have an undercard.
Do that.
Like I just
keep
interviewed
Javante
Davis. Javante
to what you mean. You know, you
that's
can tell us what
platform.
You like and what you don't
for
like.
Who cares?
And we can
look,
keep it all funky.
Mayweather Pacquiao. The undercards only matter to people like us.
I know the corner club got our back.
No general casual boxing fan ever watches the undercard.
We're
going to
be bringing you this for free.
Usually, you have a fight party and everybody is talking and bullshitting and drinking and playing cards, shooting the breeze, and talking to broads while the undercard's happening. Main event happens, everybody sits down and shuts up. But none of that's going to matter. Like, Mayweather Pacquiao, it didn't matter who was on the undercard, except to us. But all the people, do you even remember who was on the undercard? Exactly.
No.
So,
like, hold on. You didn't even give me a long time to think. That's unfair.
But that's my point. Like, it doesn't matter. So Mayweather Pacquiao ruined boxing for a lot of people. This was a terrible fight that people waited 6 years for and were bored out of their minds. Right? And boxing fans, you know, diehard boxing people like myself, we knew what was going to happen. Just maybe not to that degree, but we knew Mayweather should easily win that fight. But it hurts. So if you put Mayweather and McGregor in a fight, dude, come on. You know this is not going to be a terribly exciting fight. It'll probably be a clinic by Floyd Mayweather, made a little bit ugly by Conor McGregor trying to grab him, looking like an idiot. It won't look good for boxing. However, Canelo and Triple G is a fight that you can show to somebody who's never really watched boxing before, and you can turn them into a fan based off of that fight.
We're allegedly. But I don't see how it goes wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, boy, more than likely, somebody's either going to get knocked out or it's just going to be really brutal. These two have never been in a boring fight.
No, I don't expect that to change against each other.
No, so it's like if you put on Mayweather-McGregor, like you're taking steam out of the promotion, you're hurting the sport. Like, dude, and if you're Floyd Mayweather and you care about Javante Davis and if you care about boxing, at some point you just got to say, fuck it. I don't need to do this fight. Like,
let the young guys grow.
Yeah, let boxing grow because Canelo and Triple G is the fight that everybody wants. It's the biggest fight that can be made in boxing. Like, outside of this, the only other big fight that could possibly happen is an Anthony Joshua.
Deontay Wilder.
Right, but that won't even come close to
I argue that if that happens in a year, it's bigger than Canelo Triple G. If they build it correctly, it's bigger.
They got a long way to go to build it correctly.
A year and a half, right? Like,
yeah, they got to fight on pay-per-view, and neither of them have done so.
I think Joshua does great numbers on pay-per-view if they put him on there.
I think he doesn't. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Europeans aren't in America buying pay-per-views.
That's true. Mexicans are.
Right, that's why Canelo does so well. So it's like, and Deontay Wilder, he's black and American. Nobody's buying his pay-per-view. So I think it would do decent numbers, and I think it would be a great atmosphere, but I don't think it would be bigger than Canelo and Triple G. It's not something that fight fans would be, and it feels like we waited on Canelo and Triple G for years. It's only really been like a year and a half. But Wilder and Joshua, yeah, we kind of want to see it, but I don't see anybody, you know, falling over themselves to see that fight.
I don't know. I feel like heavyweight boxing and the appeal by then would be so strong, as long as they don't take an L, that it'd be crazy. That, I think, would trump it at that time. Because there's just a nostalgia to heavyweight boxing. That appeal, it's a gravitation that I just can't explain, and I think that's why. And you got two knockout artists. You know that's not going the distance. It's very similar. People went nuts over Joshua Klitschko. And that was, you know, across the pond and all this stuff. You put that fight in Vegas, you give it the proper build. They're on SportsCenter, they're, you know, on First Take, they're on whatever the hell Skip Show is and all this stuff. It'll be hard to deny. And you give Wilder that spotlight, he's going to talk. And we saw that same thing from Joshua. Joshua hasn't been quiet either. He talks that talk too.
Yeah, but that fight was on HBO. Do you think, like, Joshua Klitschko would have done anything on pay-per-view?
No, but going forward, if there's a rematch, I think they do 500.
I don't think so.
I think they do 500. It does more than Gennady numbers, and he does 3.
Gennady doesn't even do 3. Gennady didn't even do 2.
Oh, I thought Gennady does 3.
Mm-mm. No, Canelo Liam Smith did like 350, and that's Canelo.
That's like a horrible fight, though.
Joshua Klitschko, rematch, pay-per-view, Even Ward Kovalev did under 2. So it's like you're asking for a lot to have 2 foreigners because they got to promote the fight in the States.
Yeah.
The training camps are overseas. So it's like there's a lot of factors into promoting a fight between 2 overseas fighters coming to the States. So, I don't see that happening. But my point is that I just kind of hope that Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather doesn't happen. I don't want to see this fight happen. And I've said it, people will be like, oh, you're a hater, but what the fuck am I getting out of this?
We get the circus tent, we get Shake Shack gift cards again.
But we also get the bullshit. Like,
there's a lot of bullshit. It'll be more bullshit than Pacquiao weekend because the Irish fans are a lot crazier than the Filipino fans.
Like, I don't know if we ever really talked in depth about how horrible Mayweather-Pacquiao weekend was that whole week.
No, we got to break it down. Like, what? The 2-year anniversary just passed.
Yeah, like, I think, I don't know, like, listeners, if you're out there listening, tweet us, and if you've been listening for a long time, you know, or if you're just curious, if you want us to talk about this, we'll talk about this on a future show. I will go terribly in depth on how awful it was being a reporter that particular, like, people are like, oh, it's the biggest fight, and you're excited, and the week's building up, then the week happens, and I was like, fuck this fight. Fuck this build up. Fuck these interviews. Like, yo, I was so sick of it. Like, and then it happened, and the fight was trash. I was like, oh my God, what a whore. It was terrible.
Yo, my memories from that week are great, though. As bad as it was, as tired as I was, because we couldn't sleep, we didn't do anything. Shit was going on from the media center. We did Radio Row for that fight, too. But people were in the media center at 7 a.m. for those fights. They had the tent. I remember I had my name on the chair, though. I was like, oh, swag. And then I had to, like, just fucking try to creep behind you to all the secret. They had, like, the secret interviews and stuff. And I had to just squeeze in behind you like, yo, I'm with him. Oh, yeah. Those are the days. It was like the club. It was like being, like, in the tunnel back in the day.
No, that was a nightmare. And then, I mean, even fight night because, you know, a lot of media didn't get the opportunity to be ringside for that fight. I was fortunate. I got to be ringside for that fight.
Raise my hand. I was not. I had to be in the little media room.
But, you know, people were like, oh, you didn't get in? Dude, there was so many people who were in that tent. It was like, I've been covering Mayweather fights for 10 years. So it's like, dude, they were going to give me a credential. But shit. Like, I broke my Mac that weekend. Oh, man.
Yo, I forgot about that.
Oh, God.
But we had live shows. We did 3 shows in 3 days. From the MGM, from the Cowboy Bar.
Yeah, that
we had crazy guests.
I don't know what's worse. I know what's worse because parking, traffic, everything was terrible for Mayweather Pacquiao. That was bad. But those UFC events that when we're about to go into, fortunately, it's only 2 fights instead of 3. Those are pretty rough too.
That was tiring because we had like open workouts and everything on Mondays.
Yeah,
it started the full week. Yo, when was it? That Thursday is the roughest. Because it starts at 9 a.m. and it's all the way through 12.
Didn't they have like an Invicta card one of those times too? Oh my God.
Yo, they had everything. I went to the little conference, the International Fight Week, convention And I went and I watched like Tough Enough in the jiu-jitsu tournaments one day. And I was dead ass tired. That was like on a Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, it's dude, it's people, it's a lot. So if Mayweather McGregor sounds good, like if you're just a person who wants to come to Vegas and lose your mind, yeah, it's great to do that. But for the working people like myself, yo, it's awful. It is so bad.
No, it's just awful nonstop. For the people who just want to come too. Because there was a people who came with no intention of going to the fight, couldn't get a ticket anyway because it was priced out. Because it was all corporate. So they just came to be hooligans out here. And I had to wait an hour and a half for a table that cost $6,000.
Yeah, you're a better man than me. I wasn't coming out that night. Y'all could have it. After Mayweather with a pack, I was like, I'm going home.
I was stupid drunk that night, though. Beyonce and Jay-Z was there. Swizz Beatz was doing a DJ set. I remember walking out at 4:30 a.m. with a Magnum bottle of Grey Goose. Unopened. They were giving doggy bags. I was like, yo. I was driving the whip with a Magnum bottle of Grey Goose in my right hand like it was a fucking hip-hop video.
You are contradicting everything that I'm saying right now. Because there's people listening right now and be like...
It sounds great. It's not great. I promise you. It sounds way better than it is when you're like living it. That shit was... That takes years off your life. Like, that was something you really shouldn't experience. Like it's not good. It was $6,000 and we had an outside corner table. I wish I could pull up the blueprint of Marquee. It's like inside DJ booth, wraps around, outside bar, outside stage. To the right of that is where we had a table. $6,000. But at least I had the hookup, so it wasn't like, yo, you pay for the table, then you got to pay for shit. So, I mean, at least it was a $6,000 minimum. So it was like, yo, you got to spend $6,000, and the table's free. So we just bought $6,000 worth of liquor and some hoodies. I still got a Marquee hoodie. That shit was like $80, but we had to reach the minimum. You don't leave money on the table.
I don't know how y'all did that. Like, a table, like, I've been to Marquee. People are like, when's Marquee? I went to Marquee for Drake for New Year's and had a table there. My table was inside, but it wasn't inside to the point where you could see Drake on stage. Like, I had to go upstairs. We had a table downstairs. And I don't know how much it was, but they just kept bringing us liquor. But I just remember being in the club. And I remember I was like, yo, I got to go to the bathroom. And it was like a 2-hour trek to try to get to the bathroom because there was so many people in the club. I'm not built for the club life anymore. So and on nights like that, because when you're in your like early 20s, you want to be in the atmosphere and you want to be involved. So like maybe with the Pacquiao weekend, it's like, dude, I want to party. I want to go to Diddy's party. I want to do this. And then you don't care that the club is crowded. You're just happy that you're there. When you get older, you want a table. You want to sit down. You want to have space. I can't go out on those nights. It's just ridiculous. It's stupid. It's so packed.
Listen, I don't know how you do it. I was 25, I think. I still didn't like that shit. I was 26. Yo, if we get real in-depth, we got to do a show, like just an in-depth show on it. Because, yeah, just that one night for me was bananas. Like, I could just talk about that one night, and people are like, yo, it sounds so amazing. Like, no, that shit's horrible. Yeah. Never again do I want to do that. But I do wish Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather fight happens just to see the circus. I won't be, like, knee-deep in the extracurriculars this time. Like, if people know me now, like, I don't even drive to events anymore. I'm not trying to hang out after. If you want to see me, meet me by Shake Shack. Like, we can link up. We could talk. Catch me during the prelims. That's my chat, you know, and talk to everybody time. Afterwards, my girl comes. She picks me up. I hop right in the whip right outside, and we come right back to Henderson, man. Get me far away from the strip. We go chill at a bar over here, but I'm not trying to be anywhere in the city. That one weekend was enough for me. And this time, I can't even imagine. We won't be out of there until 2.
2? That's being generous.
Maybe the post-fight presser alone, I would have to do 3 articles. At least, and I might be lowballing.
Yeah.
Just because imagine if Conor loses, what he's going to say. What if he says, you know, the UFC now has to pay me $30 million to fight? Then Dana would tweet. And then Mayweather's talking about a rematch because it was so... Well, let it be somewhat competitive because Mayweather allows it. What if he Maidana's it? Like Maidana won. And allows Conor. So what? It brings intrigue for a rematch. Imagine if they run it back again in May.
I don't want to talk about this.
Oh my God, I can't even wrap my head around this. So that's boxing right now. It's crazy. We don't know what's going on in the future, but 2017 has been great for hardcore boxing fans, and we might have a sideshow, so that's really good. Pro wrestling, not much to talk about in WWE, same old shit. Nakamura debuts next weekend, so our next show will be about Backlash, and SmackDown's actually pretty good. WWE.
Is it?
It's not horrible. Raw is horrible. Raw lost the one good thing. I'd say one of the two only good things it has, Raw lost. And Alexa Bliss can't carry the whole damn thing on her 5'1 shoulders.
Yo, the WrestleMania hangover is real. And usually, like, after post-WrestleMania, you run into this, like, dark patch for, like, 2 months before, like, Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. But, yo, it's so bad. Like, Raw was so bad this week. And SmackDown wasn't that much better. Like, watching SmackDown, I was like, who cares? Like, they're turning Charlotte. Both AJ Styles and Charlotte are about to be babyfaces. Jinder Mahal is a finisher that doesn't look like it would hurt my nephew.
Yeah, the finisher is horrible, but I do like Jinder Mahal as a character now. I'm pulling for him over Orton.
It just, if this isn't a sustained thing with Jinder Mahal, then I don't care. Like, you know, going back to Raw, like, what do we have? We had Roman Reigns jumping out to fight Braun. Both of them are hurt. Kalisto looking like Pentagon Jr. or Drago from Lucha Underground. It's like, man, this is so dumb.
Cruz, your boy.
That was stupid. Ambrose and Miz, we've seen this before. That was stupid. Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins, like, I'm not even into this feud anymore.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Like, I'm over all of this. Sheamus and Cesaro as heels, which I guess is kind of cool that they ran through everybody in that tag team, you know, whatever it was, tag team circuit, and it led to the last tag team being the Golden Truth. You know, people were like, oh, they might get their chance. No, Cesaro and Sheamus won. Just like Breezango, you know, getting a legitimate tag team title run on SmackDown. Yo, both
I like shows, what they're doing, though. Like, do you not like the fashion report?
Well, so here's my thing. I've always liked Tyler Breeze. I liked him in NXT. As a tag team, I think they're cool. My problem is that once it's over, it's over. Like, Heath Slater and Rhino, there's no sustainability with Breezango. No, as soon as they lose...
And then have them turn on each other and break them into singles guys again.
But then they'll be lost. Like, we'll never see them again. Like, Heath Slater and Rhino won the tag team titles, like a feel-good story, and then they just really just went away. And it's like, it's going to be the same thing with Breezango, because, you know, the Usos cutting that weird promo, 12 days, 12, and I was like, oh.
No, that's funny. The Usos in full effect. You can't get more hood right now on television than the Usos.
Like, this is all just a holding pattern for the New Day to come back. AJ Styles is a babyface I just find to be kind of weird, because there's really nothing to justify it. It just kind of happened. Sami Zayn being like this goofball, I'm not too pleased with it.
Sami got better at talking with the goofball angle. I think it's funny.
I don't like the goofball. Like, I want him to win. Can he win some matches, please?
He could be a goofball and win. Yeah, sure. Like, I just think, like, the goofy personality is, like, his best character so far.
I don't like it at all. I don't want a Santino Marella. Like, I don't want none of that out of Sami Zayn. I like to see Sami Zayn as an underdog. Daniel Bryan was losing matches as an underdog, but you would cheer him on because he could wrestle. Like, having Sami cut these goofy promos. Like, I'm basically summarizing both Raw and SmackDown as being shit shows. Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor, it sounds good. Like, all of this is just bad.
Which they might pass on now. Dirt sheet alert. They're saying that now that Braun Strowman is injured, all road and house shows are being repackaged for Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns.
Christ.
And they moved him away from Finn Balor starting yesterday. So
what direction are they moving Finn Balor in?
I don't know. Hopefully it's just for house shows because, you know, Wyatt and Reigns have a history, so it doesn't take a long time for someone new to learn Roman stuff. And maybe Finn doesn't have to wrestle as much on house shows, or you could protect them in tag teams and such to keep them healthy. But it doesn't continue the storyline. Usually at house shows, you want to continue your storyline that you have on television. But whatever.
House shows are where you work on your stuff. Like, house shows are where you get your practice in. Yeah. House shows are where you try and experiment. Like when we saw Asuka and Ember Moon last year at an NXT show. We got to see them work on what would essentially become the title match. So why wouldn't Finn and the WWE, basically. How about that?
All right.
It's not good.
Before we go, real quick, New Japan, Best of the Super Juniors. card is stacked. Starting off, I believe today, if you guys are, it's Friday. If not, catch up on Saturday before the UFC or on Sunday when you have shit else to do because there's no WWE pay-per-view. But Ricochet and Will Ospreay open it up. And Block A is still bananas, so make sure you guys watch everybody, that.
Before we continue to talk,
man, Marty Scurll's debut,
got to give another
ACH debut. It's going to be great.
Casper mattresses combined.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah.
I know, like as we're speaking, ROH and New Japan's War of the Worlds is on right now.
Oh, so maybe it's next. No, excuse me, next weekend because it's the day after my birthday. My birthday is Thursday the 18th. It starts May 19th.
That's how we get our sleep.
So there you go.
That Friday. So it's not this weekend. I thought it was tonight. That is wrong. Tonight is ROH.
And returns to the U.S. and Canada. Shout out to the Great North.
Yeah, so we can talk about that a little bit more in depth next week. And I plan on watching the entire Super Juniors tournament like I do.
Look, dude, you spend like a third of your life sleeping.
Is it possible Super Juniors is trying out a match before you commit?
Look, so if you aren't satisfied with
nothing, you got 100 like, days. As much as I love Super Juniors, 100
days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping.
G1
is about that time. I think I know if I like my mattress. So get a Casper mattress.
I mean, it could be. I mean, it's really unfair how stacked it is, especially on Block A.
Even though Block A, $50 towards your Casper mattress by going to Casper.com/thecorner and entering the promo code the corner. That's Casper.com/thecorner. Promo code the corner to save $50 towards your Casper purchase.
The only one that like matters is tonight.
And these things are
the other ones are just just kind of like tour stuff, road stuff. But yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk about Royal of the Worlds because I plan on watching it tomorrow morning. We'll continue to talk about how bad Raw and SmackDown is. We'll preview Backlash because Nakamura will finally debut against Dolph Ziggler. Oh, God.
Which, that's not going bad. That's going to be a good match.
No, it's just, man, like I said.
It really took the wind out of your sails. you need Best of the Super Juniors next weekend to perk up your wrestling mojo.
Yeah, like, dude, Ember Moon's out of the NXT TakeOver show. She got brutally thrown out of the ring by Asuka last week.
Oh, that looks ugly. But Ruby Rose is the truth, so that match is still going to be really good.
Yeah, but Asuka's going to retain. It's too predictable. There's no way Asuka's going to lose that fight, that match.
Someone else could get pinned, right? So it's a normal triple threat now. It's not elimination style. So Ruby Rose can actually pin, what's her name, from Sanity. And win the belt. I mean, it's a way to get the belt off of Asuka and without her technically losing.
Not, but they got to continue the Ember Moon Asuka story for the title. There's no other way that goes. The only thing that was really, like, NXT was decent this week. The Roderick Strong Day Otami match was actually pretty damn good. NXT TakeOver should be solid. Looking forward to it. I wish Ember Moon was on that card, but we'll talk about that. But main roster, man. If y'all don't like me trashing WWE on this podcast, get used to it because it's going to be rough for the next few weeks. Until they can figure it out with Braun Strowman out, this is going to be a rough few weeks. But I will gladly talk about New Japan and indie wrestling. I'm watching PWG as we're speaking.
I believe it. So we'll check back on all of this next week. Thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow is Saturday if you're listening to this on Saturday to get our predictions. Today, I'm going to try out something brand-ass new, and I want to try to live stream during the UFC event. So if it works out, we'll start coordinating shit, so maybe me and Andreas can live stream during wrestling events, and so on and so forth, and we'll start having special live episodes of The Corner on Sundays during these events as like a little change-up going forward, just because you guys probably just want to hear us talk trash during these events, and old man Andreas get really pissed. Watching WWE main roster wrestling.
Yeah.
So we're going to try it out this weekend. Thank you guys for supporting. Follow us on social media at The Corner LSN on all platforms. Me at Kel Dansby. Him at Andreas Hale. We're going to talk him into changing his name to Old Man Andreas officially on all platforms. We're getting there. Till next week, though. We're out.
Peace.